We appreciate those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes. We invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by email at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. Couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Today we'd like to talk about knowing God as our Father. Many of us think of Him as distant, far out, otherworldly, impersonal, remote, untouchable. They think of Him in a formal way, with deep respect, reverence, and a measure of fear. Some people even see God as being out to get them. They think He's up there with a baseball bat or a thunderbolt, looking down from heaven, just waiting for them to make a mistake. They see God as an enforcer, harsh or mean. They think that He sets standards that they can never live up to. They think of themselves as having a confrontational relationship with Him, which is tense and full of pressure. Other people see the Father as someone to ask stuff from. Another statistic is that the vast majority of collect phone calls that are made worldwide are collect calls to Dad. I also heard a story about a father whose son was at BYU. He got a letter from his son. He opened it, unfolded it, started to read. It said, "Dad, I haven't heard from you for quite a while. Please send me a check to let me know that you're all right." Even in the most well-known prayer in the English language, "Our Father who art in heaven, give us." And don't those words go together so often? Father, give us our daily bread. And like I said, consumer statistics show that there's a lot more spending leading up to Mother's Day than Father's Day. And that's why we're all keenly aware of Mother's Day in May, but perhaps much less aware that Father's Day comes around this time in June. I'm sure you've noticed there's just a lot more hype to do with Mother's Day than with Father's Day. Well, we want to talk to Him today as a loving Father, as someone who is for you, someone who helps you, someone who helps you overcome mistakes, cheers you on as you pursue your dreams, someone who believes in the best of you, someone who, when you fall down, He picks you up and gets you back on your way. Not a God who's far out, not a God who's out to get you, not a God who's just existing to point out all the things that you're doing wrong, just the opposite. We want to talk about your Heavenly Father as a constant source of strength and encouragement, as someone who will lift you up, pick you up, push you forward when you feel like giving up. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, some of you, and I certainly wouldn't wish this on anyone, but unfortunately it's true, some of us have had earthly fathers who were mean, harsh, judgmental, impossible to please, not there when you needed them. Our caution today is to make sure that image of your earthly father does not taint the image of who your Heavenly Father is. Have you ever gotten a new dog that had been mistreated by a previous owner who was a man? That dog may trust all the women folk in your family instinctively, but it takes a long time for that dog to learn to trust men. Why is that? Because he's got an image ingrained in his mind that all men are harsh and all men are unkind. And it takes some time and quite a bit of undoing to retrain him to learn that some men are not as bad as others. It's easy for us to have the same image of our Heavenly Father as we do of our less than perfect earthly father. We're afraid He's going to condemn us and berate us when we do wrong, make us feel like we can never measure up to His standards. We have to guard against getting that image mixed up with the image of our Heavenly Father. On the other hand, I hope that most of you had a good father. And if that's the case, you have only to think of your Heavenly Father as someone more loving, more kind, more caring than your earthly father. If your earthly father thought his kids were the greatest kids in the world, if your earthly father would do anything for your brothers and sisters, then all you have to do is imagine how much more true that is for your Heavenly Father. I heard about a pastor whose young son had become ill. After the boy had undergone an exhausted series of surgeries, the father was told the shocking news that his son had a terminal illness. He went with a heavy heart through the hospital ward to the boy's bedside, knowing that he had only a few days to live. First, the pastor read a passage of scripture, and he had a time of prayer with his dear child. Then he gently told him that the doctors could only promise him a few more days to live. And he asked, "Are you afraid of your Heavenly Father, my boy?" And the boy said bravely, blinking away a few tears, "No, not if he's like you, Dad." That Heavenly Father, like any father with paternal instincts, wants the best for his children. No detail is too small. He's constantly watching over you, making sure that you're well taken care of. One time our spiritual master was asked, "Do we believe that Jesus Christ was the only Son of God?" He said, "Why only Son? Even an ordinary man has five or six sons. God claims all living beings as his sons." So he has many sons, unlimited sons. But Prabhupada said, in that time, that place, that area, he was the only one that acted like a son of God. And so as any father has regard for all of his children, but special regard for those who put him first place, who honor him, similarly God has special regard for those who invite him into an intimate relationship by chanting any bona fide name of God. But what we have passed down to us from the saints and sages is this particular word formula: Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. If you keep God first place in your life, anytime you call him, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari, he will take your call. Even in this natural plane, the prime minister, the president, even if he's in a summit meeting in Singapore with the president of North Korea, or wherever he may be, he's meeting with the annual meeting of the stockholders of General Motors. If some secretary comes in and says, "Your 9-year-old son, your 9-year-old daughter is on the phone," he'll interrupt it. He'll say, "Gentlemen, excuse me, I have to take this call." And then he'll pick up the phone and he'll talk about whether they're having fries or tater tots for dinner that night. That's how important those kids are to that man, no matter how high a position he holds. He's not going to put the kids on hold. He's not going to send them to voice messaging. He won't transfer them to a call center overseas. But God's children, especially those who honor him, always have access. He will interrupt what he's doing in order to take their call. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. One problem is that sometimes we think we're so fallen, that we've made so many mistakes, that we're too average, too ordinary, for God, the most exalted King of Kings, to take our call. So we ask a priest or a clergy, or if you're from our Indian culture, a Brahmin, to make the call on our behalf. Now, I'm sure that those people would love to pray for you, and they don't have a problem doing that. But our encouragement today is that you have direct access. You don't need a third party to intervene between you and your Heavenly Father. In 1970, my spiritual master, my guru, Prabhupada — Prabhu means master and pad means feet, so it conjures up the image of the student sitting at the feet of the master. He gave me my chanting beads, and he spoke the mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'd heard it before, obviously, before then. I'd been chanting pretty much for a year. But the significance at the time of initiation of the spiritual master, the saintly representative of God, the pure devotee, injecting that mantra from his own lips into the right ear hole of your head, the significance is that that jump starts your spiritual intelligence. Something was stirred up within me at that time. And for the last 50 years, I've spent most of my time taxing my brain to figure out how to honor God and how to spread his glories. Don't make the mistake of thinking that when you get initiation or apprenticeship under the tutelage of a bona fide, genuine, saintly person, that that is the end, that you've accomplished everything that you should accomplish. Now all you have to do is sit and take orders and just robotically follow them. That is a lie. What happens when you contact a saintly person and step forward to take initiation? He lights up your intelligence. He gives you that spiritual intelligence by which you can serve God on another level. Inside of the wood, there's fire. But the fire is not going to spontaneously erupt. However, when you bring fire externally in the form of a match and then touch it to the wood, then the fire that's within will come out. When an initiated disciple prays to the Lord for service, people ask, "Do you pray?" We say, "Yes." "Well, what do you pray?" "This is our prayer." "What is the meaning of the prayer?" "Not give me a new Lamborghini or promote me to the vice presidency." No, the prayer is a prayer for service. "Lord, please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." When we do that, when we pray to the Lord for service, our name comes across Krishna's caller ID. And when Krishna or God sees that, he smiles and he says, "That's my boy. That's my girl." Many of you are in awe of God, but you don't realize how this awesome God longs to hear from you. The key is to have the service attitude. We see in this picture here both the two-handed Krishna form and surrounding him the four-handed Vishnu forms. What's the difference? Vishnu obviously is more intimidating, more monarchical, imperial. With his four hands, his lotus, his razor-sharp disc, his club, and his conch shell. You stand before Vishnu, and you do feel respect. You do feel awe. You're running through your memory all the mistakes that you've made. Vishnu is that demeanor of God that interacts with those who fear him. For those who don't have a service attitude, who want to serve themselves, it's all about me and mine, then we make ourselves an opponent, a competitor of God. God then is obliged to interact with us in a form of a disciplinarian. Some of you are parents. So when your child is misbehaving, you don't want to do it. It's not your preferred mood. But sometimes you have to shout, "Stop!" If your child is running into traffic, you can't say, "Oh, my dear, lovely child, could you please not run into the four-lane highway today." If you actually love that child, you say, "Stop!" You might even tackle the child. The child might go down requiring stitches. But that's love. Sometimes love is tough, loud, stern. If you're not in a service attitude towards God, then he's obliged to show you tough love. You'll see him. There's Vishnu, monarchical, disciplinary, and intimidating. However, again, if you're a parent and you have children who honor you, then there's nothing you like better than to sit down, have them on your knee, stroke their head, speak very mellifluously, very soothingly. But it's not God taking roles. It's ourselves, how we approach God, that oblige him to appear either as the two-handed, benign God of love, Krishna, or the Old Testament-ish Vishnu form. It's up to you. And the turning point can be Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Now from God's point of view, he sometimes gets tired of all the hosannas and hallelujahs. He gets tired of all the bowed heads, the awe and the reverence. He gets tired of all the yes men. He likes to be challenged. He even likes to fight sometimes. But the caveat is only with those who are his surrendered devotees. Imagine when you were a kid. You were all good, intimate friends. You guys used to do everything together. You girls used to do everything together. But one day, for just a little extra something, a little extra drama, a little extra suspense, you divided. You guys are going to be the good guys, and you guys are going to be the bad guys. You're going to be the cops, and you're going to be the robbers. And so you played those antagonistic roles, but you're actually all friends. So Krishna gets tired sometimes of all the awe and the reverence and the protocol. He likes to come down and appear in this world for a good fight now and then. If you read the Krishna book downstairs, you'll see that when Krishna appeared, it wasn't all just play on the flute and loving, but he used to fight too. He used to enjoy fighting, but he was only fighting with other liberated pure souls that had descended from the spiritual world to satisfy his desire. If you know some of what we're talking about, if you realize some of what we're talking about today, I believe that you'll be more confident in your relationship with God. You'll know, on the one hand, that God is the Alpha, the Omega, the King of Kings. He creates millions and millions of universes just by speaking. But on the other hand, this Lord is not remote, indifferent, unapproachable. He longs to revive the primeval relationship that he has with us. He longs to move closer to you. The problem is that we keep him at arm's length. We keep aloof from him. You can change that by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You are the apple of his eye. And like any parent, he longs to brag about you. He longs to pull out his wallet and show pictures of you all around. He'll take your call for service. You're not an orphan. Your father is proud of you. He's telling others right now about the great festival of colors that we had in Salt Lake City yesterday. Krishna is telling somebody that 4,000 young people showed up at our Salt Lake City campus. And each and every one of them chanted and danced for an average of an hour in the 95 degree heat. Krishna is telling someone how they all took prasadam or consecrated food and listened to messages straight out of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is keeping someone informed about the progress that we're making in the construction of our temple up there in Salt Lake City. He knows everybody who's donated even a penny or a 10-minute period of service in order to make that glorious temple happen. There is a transcendental party going on all around the globe. There are 800 Hare Krishna temples expanding all the time. The main business in each and every one of those temples is singing, chanting, dancing, and feasting, and repeat. Singing, chanting, dancing, feasting, and repeat. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my lips and let them sing always only for my king. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. That's the business of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Spiritual transcendental party. And you're invited to step into that, simultaneously stepping into the loving embrace of the Lord in this life and in the next life, go back home, back to God. Now, considering all this, please don't drag through your life. Don't listen to the negative things that have been said about you. Don't let your mistakes fill you with a feeling of inadequacy. No, you have been powerfully and fearfully made, created, each and every one of you, for a divine purpose. Isn't it a fact that all parents see their children differently? Each parent thinks that their kids are the smartest. Their kids are the fastest. Their kids are the most talented. They're the most beautiful. I say this respectfully, but that newborn child can be extremely homely. Skin all dried up, rashes, head disproportionately big, drool coming everywhere over his mouth and chin. Doesn't matter. The parents think that that is the most beautiful baby ever born. Parents may not, as the child gets physically older, always be proud of the actions of their children, but they will always have more mercy on them than others. They will always take up for them. They will always forgive them what they do, and they will always try to help them to do better next time. In fact, nothing the child can do will ever stop the parent from wanting to do good to the child. And that's not an excuse to live sloppy. It's not an excuse not to have integrity, but we all make mistakes. And if anybody knows that, it's our Heavenly Father. What He doesn't want you to do is live beaten down, guilty, listening to voices that remind you of everything that you've done wrong. Here in His purport to the Bhagavad Gita, verse 7, chapter 24th, Prabhupada says, when one is engaged in Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then one can understand the inner heart, the divine nature of the Supreme Personality of God. I heard about a little boy one Sunday morning from the backyard. The scream came to the ears of the father in the living room. Daddy, 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 help me, help me. The father immediately realized that the child was hanging by the skin of his fingers from a big oak tree in the backyard. He told that child hundreds of times, don't climb that oak tree. It's dangerous. The child had intentionally and with a forethought ignored him on that Sunday morning. And just as the father had predicted, now the child was hanging 10 feet off the ground in danger of breaking an arm and a leg. So what's the father's attitude? Well, you're on your own now. I told you. Whatever happens to you is on your head. That's not at all. The father's going to run without any consideration of, were you listening to me or were you not listening to me? Were you obeying me or not obeying me? Have you been good this week? Have you been bad this week? None of those calculations go through the father's head. He's just going as fast as he can to save that little boy. He's not finding fault. That's our message this afternoon. You're still in the game. Best thing you can do when you make a mistake is not go away from your Heavenly Father. The best thing you can do is go towards Him. That's what He wants. That's what He enjoys. That's what He relishes. Unfortunately, some religions will beat you down and advise you to sit on the sidelines. You can't do anything right. Your best days are behind you. God wouldn't have any interest in you. No. Get to know God as your supreme loving Father. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you didn't have a good father growing up, don't let that taint your image. Your Heavenly Father is loving, He's forgiving. Your Heavenly Father is incredibly proud of you. He loves showing you off. He loves bragging about it when you honor Him. He thinks that you're amazing. Remember that if you keep God first place in your life, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And especially if you make your business His business and you make His business, your Father will always take your call. If you begin to see Him as a father and a friend, you won't go through life feeling guilty, feeling condemned, feeling like you never measure up. You will be strong. You will be confident. You will be secure. You will become everything that He has created you to be in this life. And in the next life, you'll go back to home, back to Godhead.